are listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. After a summer that saw historic protests for racial justice and, at the same time, the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage, the Harriet Beecher Stowe House here in town is celebrating Black history all year long with a series of events. On February 21st, explore the Black women who broke barriers in Ohio and laid a foundation for future generations. Hadley Drodge, the assistant curator of the National Afro-American Museum and Cultural Center in Wilberforce, Ohio, presents the stories of these women from 1830 to today. The lecture is called Queens of the Queen City, Cincinnati Stories of African-American Women, is in partnership with the National Afro-American Museum and Cultural Center, where Drodge has curated the exhibit Queens of the Heartland. Let's talk about it now, joining Cincinnati Edition. To discuss the lecture are National Afro-American Museum and Cultural Center Assistant Curator Hadley Drodge. Hadley, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure to have you. We're also joined by Harriet Beecher Stowe House Executive Director Christina Hartlieb. Christina, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hadley, talk to us a little bit about the development of this presentation. I understand that it started as an exploration of the ratification of the 19th Amendment and Black women's role in women's suffrage, and then it evolved.
Absolutely. So the idea for the exhibit itself developed, you know, as you mentioned, a response to the ratification of the amendment that offered particularly white women the opportunity to vote. What we found, and you know, I'll clarify that, is that we couldn't start the story there, and we couldn't end the story there. As you know, there were a large effort to focus on African Americans because we couldn't. The 19th Amendment on paper offered women the opportunity to vote, but because of poll taxes, lots of other racist legislation, African-American women were not able to vote. So we started with this idea of the fight for freedom, that this was just one stepping stone in this larger fight for freedom, to be recognized as an American. And so we start kind of with the reform movement, the idea of, you know, the abolitionist movement, temperance movement, and bring the audience up to the present day with the idea of representation. And this lecture is talking about the women specifically from Cincinnati or who had ties to Cincinnati who are included in the exhibit.
And so Ohio has a unique role in African-American history, and I'm wondering how you cultivate some of that for this particular presentation.
Yeah, we used Ohio not only because it's part of our mission to tell Ohio stories at the museum, but also because Ohio is such a cross-section of what was happening in America throughout history. We have, you know, the stories of the Underground Railroad, a strong AME church presence that was involved with that. We have the stories of being the first free state from the Northwest Territory, but we also have, right off the bat, as soon as we develop our Constitution in 1803, we have some very racist legislation that worked against those efforts. We have the 1850 Fugitive Slave Law, and so we're trying to explore that balance, because that's a balance that we see throughout the United States, throughout our history. And so we, you know, dug into archives and tried to bring forth the voices of many people, women and, you know, men as well, who fought against these efforts and worked to create a nation that was much more representative of the ideals set forth when, you know, our the concept of a free nation where everyone was equal, you know, was first established.
That's Hadley Drodge, the National Afro-American Museum and Cultural Center Assistant Curator. We're also joined by Harriet Beecher Stowe House Executive Director Christina Hartlieb. Christina, we noted in the introduction to this segment that the Stowe House is celebrating African-American history all year long, not just in the month of February, as is a traditional time period for such celebrations. Talk a little bit about your mission this year.
Sure. So our overall mission, you know, we want to sustain the legacy of Harriet and her family here in Cincinnati. We facilitate historical exploration, raise awareness for positive change, and support dialogue about social issues. So one of the ways that we do that is through a couple of discussion groups. We have a discussion group that is led by a retired Xavier professor, John Getz, and it's the focus for this year's discussions are called After Uncle Tom's Cabin, Black Voices for Justice. So we've already done one of those, and we have another one coming up on March 3rd. Those typically happen on the first Wednesdays of the month in the evenings, and everything is currently still online. So that's one discussion group that we do. We have another one that is focused on, it's kind of a book club. It's called the Semicolon Club, which is reminiscent of the club, the reading and writing club that Harriet Beecher Stowe belonged to when she lived here in Cincinnati in the 1830s. So in that particular book club, we have different volunteers that work with us and facilitate a book discussion. Now, the first one that we're doing, which is actually next Saturday, so a week from Saturday, and that is 12 o'clock on Saturdays, so an afternoon discussion. And the first one, we are actually discussing a film, and it is Spike Lee's film, Do the Right Thing, because as I have indicated before, you know, it's a 30-year-old movie that could have, fictional, but it could have actually happened any time in the last 30 years, including today. So that is one discussion group, and that particular discussion group will be led by myself and by one of our board members, Prince Edward Johnson II. But really, you know, these are just examples of some of the discussions and lectures that we have planned all year long. And so we have, you know, our event schedule is listed on our website if you wanted to go look at the things that are coming up.
So, Christina, this house, the Harriet Beecher Stowe House, is the Cincinnati home where Harriet Beecher Stowe lived earlier in her life. And the events there led her to write a book that most of us are familiar with, Uncle Tom's Cabin, a very significant book for American history and American literature. You've noted that after the Civil War, which had come after the publication of this book, that Harriet Beecher Stowe became increasingly concerned with women's issues. And I'm hoping that you can elaborate on that for us.
So Harriet herself was a supporter of women's suffrage. She was not a vocal supporter because, you know, she was really focused on her role as an abolitionist. But one of her sisters, the younger sister Isabella, was in fact very much involved in the women's suffrage movement. The house here itself was technically the Beecher family home. So Harriet lived here off and on for several years. And then after she married, she lived right down the street. So she was in and out of the family home for the whole 18 years that she lived here in Cincinnati. Her younger sister Isabella did live here as a young teenager before moving back to the East Coast and starting her, you know, later she was involved in the suffrage movement. So, you know, the Beecher family overall was very involved in many different social and reform idea issues in the 19th century.
We're also joined today by Hadley Drodge, National Afro-American Museum and Cultural Center Assistant Curator, who will be presenting Queens of the Queen City, Cincinnati Stories of African-American Women at the Harriet Beecher Stowe House. Hadley, I'm glad that Christina helped set up, you know, the connection that Harriet Beecher Stowe has to women's issues. And I'm wondering if a presentation like the one you're putting together takes on more significance when it's presented in collaboration with an operation like the Stowe House. I'm sure it would be an impactful presentation wherever, but does this add to that impact?
Oh, absolutely. I think you are right. One of the things we tried to do with this exhibit is to explore all the different connections between the women in the exhibit. And when you can do that, you start to flesh out, you know, their characters, their personalities, their world. And it makes the history so much more real, I think, to the visitor. And so when you enter a space like the Stowe House, you are connecting to that history as well. And one of the women who's not a Cincinnati woman, but will appear very briefly in the lecture, Hallie Quinn Brown, she actually shared the stage with Isabella that Christina mentioned, in 1893 at the Chicago World's Fair. And so you start to see all these paths that you know, their paths cross and intersect, and they were friends and mentors and, you know, kind of helped each other. And it really focuses the story on collaboration rather than just these singular figures in history that kind of float without any kind of context or any rooting, in this greater story. And so when you can actually see the world develop with, you know, these real people who are not just, you know, two-dimensional black and white pictures that we see, I think it makes this history feels so much more alive.
And some of the queens of the Queen City that you'll explore, tell us.
Yeah, so we're going to start with a queen who's not born in Cincinnati, but she did marry a Cincinnati man named Fenton Harper, Frances Ellen Watkins Harper. She was one of my favorite characters in the exhibit, and talk about her story as just this, you know, force of to be reckoned with. It's actually funny to us now, but it's really dramatic the way that she was treated by some pro-slavery audiences. She was such a wonderful lecturer that some people accused her of being a man. Some people accused her of being a white person in blackface, painted black, because they couldn't give someone like her as much credit as she deserved. And we also are going to talk about a character named Lucretia Coleman. And I love her story because she has almost disappeared from the written record. There's very few traces of her left, but she was one of the most celebrated writers in her day. And so looking at her, you see how many more stories need to be told, how many more treasures there are to dig up. So we hope that this exhibit and this lecture really, you know, they're just the beginning of a larger project where we can all come together and help tell a more honest story about our nation.
Some of the notes that you created leading up to this event suggest that this presentation will explore the idea of collaboration and radical change through coalition building. I'm wondering if you could put that into context to today, because we still see a march for civil rights. We still see calls for racial equality and answers for racial injustice in this country, particularly all last year in very high-profile ways. Do you think there are lessons from this period that you're exploring that can be applied to today's period?
I do. And I think this is really the key we need to understand about history. It's not just a set of facts that happened in the past, but it really helps us understand who we are today and why we do the things we do, why we find ourselves in certain situations. And when you look at the collaboration that is happening today with the Black Lives Matter movement, with, you know, calls for equality and to police brutality, you can see it mirrored in our past as well. Whenever there was really radical, successful change, you see these coalitions. We talk a lot about the NACW, this in the Black Women's Club, where there's this movement where women got together and they knew that if they combined their forces, they would present such a more formidable force for change that they couldn't be ignored if they joined together. And they were right that they, you know, did push lots of really important legislation, lots of, you know, pushes for cultural change, like the anti-lynching movement was really pushed by these Black women's clubs. And again, that's the idea that our historical figures are not just, you know, singular firsts. It's not just, this is the first person to do this. That's part of their story. But really to see all of the work that people did together is, I think, much more valuable to us today in understanding how to get where we want to be as a nation.
Hadley, you mentioned Lucretia Howe Newman Coleman, who yes, was a celebrated writer who may have faded from the spotlight and certainly the focus of history. I'm wondering, in addition to her, anybody that you think people will be particularly surprised to learn about, as in somebody that they didn't know about before but will then feel like they should have?
We also are going to visit with some more modern women. I'm not sure if people are aware that the first Black woman to write for Storm with Marvel Comics is actually from Cincinnati, Yona Harvey. She's a wonderful person who is a collaborator in this project. She was able to talk to me directly about her story. She gave us her photograph to use in the exhibit. And I think really exciting to connect her, to connect other women like Nikki Giovanni, who is also part of a collaborative movement with the Black Arts Movement. She helped establish Cincinnati's first Black Arts Festival. That these women who are still with us today are also, you know, part of this movement that we focus on, you know, beginning in the 1830s, and really begins even earlier than that. But we have to kind of end the, you know, start somewhere, I guess.
We have to start and end, and that is true for our show as well. Queens of Queen City, Cincinnati Stories of African-American Women. That is Sunday, February 21, in partnership with the National Afro-American Museum and Cultural Center and the Harriet Beecher Stowe House here in Cincinnati. Details online at WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab. My thanks to Hadley Drodge, the National Afro-American Museum and Cultural Center Assistant Curator, and Harriet Beecher Stowe House Executive Director, Christina Hartley. Thanks to both of you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us today.
And thank you for listening to Cincinnati Edition here on 91.7 WVXU. Don't forget, it is our winter fun drive. We have operators standing by to take your call at 513-419-7155 or WVXU.org. We'll talk again tomorrow.